Okay, Shalom Aleichem Rabbeisai. We are in Chavis Halvavis Shal Yichud HaMaisa toward the end of Perek Hey. Okay. We're in the last paragraph. What the Chavis Halvavis was just telling us now, with the Yetzer Hara that come to a person, the assaults of the Yetzer Hara on the person who does get involved in learning, who does throw himself into learning. And what are those Yetzer Haras? First of all, the Yetzer Hara of that sense of competition, of resentment of someone who knows more than him, and also the Yetzer Hara of the arrogance that can come from learning, of looking down at people who don't know as much as you, getting to a place of scorning them. And that can also come to a place of feeling like you have to show that you know everything, even when you don't. And the last thing he said was, "V'takutz eishayakshu alecha." And if ever anyone questions, since you have put your efforts into learning, and that's where you feel that you are, you know, gaining your niche, if anyone questions anything you say, you may really not appreciate that. And you will view yourself as a very great chacham. And on the contrary, you'll enjoy the fact that other people don't know as much as you. Makes you feel better about yourself. And you'll put yourself up by putting down the people around you, showing them how ignorant they are, how they don't know the things that you know. And you may succeed in Torah learning as an intellectual pursuit. You may know a lot of it, but you'll be missing out on a lot of the musa that the Chachamim say, in terms of the person you're supposed to be, in terms of your character. The Yetzer Hara might actually use your Torah to destroy your character. What's that? Not necessarily. Chamor Noisei Sfarim could also just mean a person who memorizes data without really understanding much of it. That's more the term. This we call a Talmud Chacham Shein Baidas. Right? He knows it all. He might even know it all deeply, but he's not living. He's not connected to it in the way Hashem wants him to. And he's not living with it in the way Hashem wants him to. What's that? What? Well, here, the connection of this whole parak is simply where he's showing all the various assaults of the Yetzer Hara. It's not directly connected to Yichud HaMaisa per se. But how the Yetzer Hara will use all kinds of means to hit you. And as he's been showing us the whole time, you have to be very conscious of the judo effect, right? You push against him in one area, so he may come and then hit you in the direction you're going, right? I mean, just the example, he kept saying this all throughout the parak. He starts with trying to tell you, don't put too much effort into Torah learning. You can't get to the end of it anyways, it's too much, etc. When you do push against him, then he comes on the contrary and starts hitting you with the specific assaults reserved for the learned. There are quite a number of inspiring stories about Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, when they're at the point of looking for another Rosh Hashiva in Kol Torah, right? And among the candidates that were being considered was Shlomo Zalman. So, you know, having different people come and give like a showcasing shear, right? To kind of like showcase themselves. So Shlomo Zalman came with a shear that he worked hard to prepare, and he came to say it. Began the shear. He began working up his thought process, and then someone in the crowd asked him something that refuted the premise that he was working with. So Rabbi Shlomo Zalman thought for a moment or two, and then he said, you're right. I lost the basis for the shiur, so there's no point in continuing. He stepped down. And he asked, you know, his wife, he came home, his wife asked him, how did it go? He said, I'm not getting the job. You know, the shiur was shot down, you know, about a quarter of the way into it. But then afterwards, the Rosh Yeshiva, I think it was Rabbeinu Martzbach. I apologize. I believe it was Rabbeinu Martzbach. Contacted him and said, you're the one chosen on the basis of that shiur. Said, because this is the model we want for our Talmud. He said, the Talmud Chacham, we already saw it, the way you were building up this year, right? But the model we want for our Talmud is a person who's capable of saying, okay, what I said was wrong. I have to retract the whole thing. This is what he's saying. That yeah, the other side of the coin of the person who can handle if they question him, right? He said the same thing happened with Chaim Brisker in his debut shiur in Volozhin. This wasn't a tryout. This was his first shiur in Volozhin. And also he was in a tight spot because he was coming in as an unusually young Rosh Yeshiva. He was married to the, how did he get a foot into Volozhin? He was married to the granddaughter of the Rosh Yeshiva, right? The Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva. Chaim Brisker married his granddaughter. He wanted to bring him in as a Rosh Yeshiva, a very young man, you know, and all the big guns of Volozhin were looking, who, you know, is this man fit for the job? And in his debut shiur also, someone challenged him and he just closed up shop, stepped down. Okay. Now, if he lo yishlam loy, if the Yetzer Hara does not succeed in Masheh Kiven Lefatoischa B'Shar Das HaLekim V'Teirascha, if the Yetzer Hara will not manage to hit you, will not manage to get you down when it comes to your relationship with Hashem, His Torah, so Yishtadu Lefatoischa, it's continued on the same line, so you have to understand that it's the other way around. Up to now, I was saying how the Yetzer Hara is going to try to block you. He's going to try to block you from moving ahead in your relationship with Hashem, from moving ahead in your Torah. But if you insist on going in, don't worry. If you insist on not letting him block you, he'll get you into Miss Medrash. He has all kinds of representatives and agents in the Miss Medrash. Or when you're engaged in that Avodah. B'Shar Maaseh Avodah. When you are excelling in Avodah Hashem, he'll hit you there. When you do something virtuous out of dedication for Hashem, he will try to pump yourself, make you full of yourself. Try to get you to feel great about it. To the extent that you start looking down at others, right? It's the same point. It was a maisa. This is also not just relevant in Torah. He's saying it's relevant in other areas also. There was a maisa, a Talmud of the Brisker Rav. It's the Brisker Rav. He wanted to stop being mekabel Shabbos regularly at Plaga Mincha. Now, many of us do it for early Shabbos. Many of us do it for early Shabbos, right? But this person wanted, as a matter of pious practice, to always be mekabel Shabbos at the earliest possible time, which would mean none of us would ever dream of doing it in the winter, right? But in the winter, that might mean being Mekabel Shabbos at 2:30, right? To make that into anhaga, to make that into a practice, be Mekabel Shabbos at the earliest possible time. The Miskarav told him something sharp, which is the point that he's making here. He said, you can do it, but b'tnai, that you don't let yourself come to a place that you start viewing the others around you as Mechalel Shabbos when they're not being Mekabel Shabbos at the plug. Meaning, he's basically making this point, beware. You might be taking on a chashem of practice, but this might actually be the Yetzer Hara's means of getting you down. If you taking on this practice will make you feel like you're in a very chashem of a place now, you start looking down at the people around you who don't do it, not worth it. It's Yotzah Schare Bef Seidoi. It's not worth it. The Yokel Alechalim Asam. Dafka, because of your virtues, Dafka, because of your progress, because of your aliyah, you may find it easy, you may come more quickly to look down on people, lachlima mulavaisham, and even to shame them, right? They dare to speak to someone of your caliber, you know, expressing their ignorance, demonstrating their, you have to let them know about it. While they might actually be in a better place than you are with Hashem. You never know what the cheshbon is. And kind of summing up what he discussed. And if there's somebody else who, let's say, is not lower than you, right? He shows you how you like both sides of the coin. He catches you, it's double-edged. Anybody who's not quite on your level, you look down upon him, scorn him. Anybody who's above you, you have to realize why that can't possibly be sincere. It can't possibly be for real, right? I mean, otherwise, you know, the proof of the fact is that I'm not doing it. Now, if I'm not doing it, how could there be anything virtuous to it? So, if you'll have a fellow, a friend, who is doing something more than you in Avodas Hashem, he's doing something in a better way than you are. And he's putting in more effort to get close to Hashem than you are. And the Yetzara starts inciting you against that person. And he says, call. Starts making you feel like anything that somebody else is doing that I'm not is kind of like showing me up as inferior. If not for him, people would look at you as the ultimate model. But look, because he's maybe staying later than you in the Beis Medrash, or because maybe he's putting in a more intent psuk in Zimmer than you are. Maybe it's medaktik and halach in some area that you aren't. So, hasiyalav v'kaneboy ustoymoy soy. You have to resent that. V'chakora mumav ugnusoy. And try to figure out what his faults are, what his shortcomings are in order to relieve yourself, or to make yourself feel better about yourself. Yeah, he does this and this, but if you would know what I know, right? And look out for his failings. Again, in order to make yourself feel good about yourself. And he'll even try to incite you, besides always looking out, he's not so great at this, he's not so great at that. But if there's nothing else, the Yetzer Hara might actually tempt you to put him down in ways that aren't necessarily true. In order that others shouldn't have such a high opinion of him, because again, he's competing with you. You want first place, don't you? As Tashivala. So he says, you have to respond to the Yetzer Hara. Be careful. Tell him, Eich emas mishaava elikim. Really think of it in terms of getting close to Hashem. And you think about the fact that this person is giving Hashem a lot of nachas. And Hashem is very pleased with this person. Say, how can I feel resentful or feel disgusted by someone who Hashem loves? And I should put down someone who Hashem is praising. It's not enough. This is what the Rabbi Yehuda calls this, Soinei Hashem. He says, when a person feels like, I want to be recognized as doing the ultimate, and therefore I don't want anybody to be doing more than me. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you know what you're saying in effect? I don't want Hashem to get anything more than what I have to offer. If I can give Hashem 15, I don't want anybody giving Hashem 20. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you think about that, Rabbi Yehuda and his very strong mahalach, because that's Soinei Hashem. If you resent a madrega that somebody else has that you don't, that's called Soinei Hashem. But an enemy of Hashem. I don't want Hashem to have anything more than I have to offer. If a person is a true lover by Hashem, he should be pleased by the fact that other people are doing what I'm not. Not a push to madrega, I'm saying it very easily. But if we really, really love Hashem, we really, really care about Him being pleased. So, you know, you should realize that that actually is a madrig on our own part. If we can look at somebody else who does something that we don't do, instead of feeling threatened by it, to say, you know what, I appreciate that. I have to realize that that's actually a great achievement on your own part. That actually is growth. It's exactly that. There isn't a difference. This is what we're talking about. It's the same sugya. Okay, more to be said about this. We know that tomorrow. Okay. Come to you.